Welcome to Life Community Church. We are a lively, growing church in the heart of Royal Leamington Spa. We trust that this message will encourage you and help you to live a life full of purpose as God intended.
Wonderful. Well, good morning, everybody. Turn to your neighbor and say, good morning. Turn to your other neighbor and say, you're the best looking thing I've seen all week. Don't tell lies in the house of God. Tell the truth. Well, it's great to see you all this morning. And today we're starting a brand new part of a few weeks of a sermon series called More Than a Song, just thinking about worship. Why don't you take, literally, I'm not filling in time here, but I want to really encourage us to be participative today. Turn to your neighbour and for literally 1 minute, tell each other what you think worship is. I can't hear you. What is worship? Seconds. Wonderful. There's no right or wrong answer. There's better answers, but let's hear some feedback. Okay. So if you've got an answer, put your hand in the air, like you just don't care. Okay. Fantastic. Yes. Shout it out. Wow, living in alignment with the nature of God. Wow, awesome. Anyone else? Glorifying God? Anyone else? Praising God? Love song to God? Wow. Life poured out. Wow. This is great. Anyone else? Anyone for this section? I know we had Julie. Anyone else? Yeah. Go on, Jamie. Kings of God. That's interesting. Yeah, yeah. Kings of God. Great. It's okay. That's fine. We'll move on. He did. He did die on the cross. We're going to come on to that today. Thank you, Jamie. But wonderful. We've got some great thoughts there. If you're in the house and you're not yet a Christian, you haven't sort of said yes to following Jesus, you're just curious. And today you'll be finding out over the next few weeks what worship is all about and what our role is as Christ followers of what it is to worship Jesus. And this sermon series is called More Than a Song. More Than a Song. Matt Redman penned that chorus a few years ago now. I'll give you more than a song. Because a song in itself is not what you'd have required. You search much deeper within, and the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. Worship is so much more than a song. And if we're honest, some of us, when we gather on a Sunday, come for different reasons. To be honest. And sometimes those reasons will be different depending on how we're feeling in the week. Sometimes, we've maybe been up by ourselves all week and think, do you know what, I just want to gather to be with God's people. That is an amazing, amazing desire, okay? Some people think, I'm waiting for the word, brother. Can I hear an amen? I'm going all African right now. How we listen to the word is also worship. Some people love the singing. Who loves to sing songs of worship? And for some of us, that might be our highlight of our time together. I love to sing some of the worship. But do you know what? Is worship one of those, all of those, some of those? So when I ask you a question, what is worship? Is it, can you show the slides? Is it this? Is that worship? Part of it? What about that one? Is that worship? What about the next one? What about gathering in a small group? Is that worship? What about praying? Because I know there's some great prayers in the house today. Intercessors. Is that worship? What about having a meal together? Is that worship? What about this one? Have we got anyone that works in a cafe, in a restaurant, serving other people? Or think about your place of work. Maybe those work in IT or engineers, or wherever you work. Is that worship? Is it more than a song? Is it just a song? I think I need to preach no more. Worship is so much more than any one thing. Worship is more than a song. It is our lifestyle. It's the way we live our life for the audience of one. It's the way we live our life to give glory to God. Amen. That is worship. And I just want to share a few thoughts from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. So you've got that. It will appear on the screens. We've got it in your own version of the Bible. It's always good to be reading the Word of God, whether it's on screen or your own version, paper copy or electronic. And I want us to really be encouraging us today and challenging us today about thinking about what it is to worship. The reason we've only had a short time of worship is after I've spoken, we're going to go into a longer time of worship. And we're going to perhaps put into practice some of the things I've been speaking about today. Today I'm not talking about a lot of the how-tos of worship. That will come. But today is really a foundation about you. Turn to your neighbor and say, you. Because worship is about God and it's about you. And understanding who you are and what your role is in worship. 1 Peter chapter 2, and I encourage you to read this again, when you get home, a living stone and a holy people, reading from the English Standard Version, the Anglicized Version edition of it. So put away all malice, writes Peter, and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Peter's writing, put away all the stuff that we might know to do that's wrong. Like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up. Say grow up. Grow up into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Give me a wave if you personally have tasted that the Lord is good. You've given your life to Jesus. You've found it that he is the one person you want to live for. Therefore, by the word of God, we've got to grow up. Not just be saved, but we've got to grow up into our salvation. Salvation is a one-off thing, and it's a continual thing. It's a one-off. We're justified by faith, and then there's the sanctification. We grow up on a daily, weekly, monthly basis into the things of God as we discover more about who he is and who we are in him. Verse 4, as you come to him, that's Jesus, as you come to him, a living stone. I've got my prayer stone here, my prayer rock. Sometimes when I pray, I've got a holding cross and I've got a rock. I love to sometimes grab hold of this. It's a big stone that I like to grab hold of, thinking, in fact, God is my rock. God is my fortress. It's hard. He's not movable. He's faithful. He's secure. And I'm secure in him. As I come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. That's Jesus. The Bible says, and Peter writes about Jesus, he was chosen and he's precious. This is just an ornate decorative stone. But Jesus is precious, a precious stone. You yourselves, like living stones, say living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, a chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. That was prophesied about Jesus Christ, Christ our Messiah, Jesus, the second person of the triune God. He was going to come into the world and that people were going to reject him, but he was going to be the chief, the most important stone when building a building. The cornerstone was the one you put in first. And from that, you got the measuring line of where all the other stones were going to be placed. Jesus is the preeminence. He has the most important part in our life. We don't downgrade Jesus to someone that came and went and thank you, Jesus. But Jesus is the most important stone. He's the most important person in the church worldwide of Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And in verse 7, so the honor is for you who believe. So those of us that have given our lives to Jesus, said yes to Jesus, the most important stone in the building. It's honor. But that for those who do not believe, will not believe, and didn't believe even at the time. The Bible prophesied that the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. When they crucified Jesus, they didn't understand what it was all about. They didn't understand. He just thought he was a big shot. He had a Messiah complex, thought he was the Messiah. But let's kill him. Let's kill him. And if he's the Messiah, prove yourself, come down from the cross. But Jesus had to die so that you and I can rise in new life. Amen. And in verse 8, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. People were, are, and still will be offended by the name of Jesus. People in our streets who are preaching the name of Jesus are being arrested today. Because the name of Jesus brings offense. Brings offense. I'm just curious right now that in our nation, probably around the world, not just our nation, around the world, people are just so easily offended and polarized by different points of view. Where has been the ability to say, I'll hear you, but I'll agree to disagree? People get offended. Don't get offended, friends. And Jesus is offensive to some, but for us, it's salvation. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. Not destined because, as I once thought, some were predestined in the sense of God chose them. But God gives us free will, friends. God gives us free will. And God, all-knowing, knew that some would be offended by the name of Jesus and some would reject him. But in verse 9, talking about you and me, friends, but you, say you. Turn to your neighbor, say you. You are a chosen, say chosen. A chosen race, say it with me, a royal priesthood, come on, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Keep going. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Friends, that is you and I. We're a people, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, that we may declare the praises of the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then, in light of that, says Peter in verse 11, beloved, I urge you as sojourners, or those that are temporary staying, and exiles, to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. That's every sin that you and I can possibly conceive of or think about. So much of our wrongdoing is done in our minds, aren't they? Our thoughts. As Paul wrote, wretched man that I am. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable. So live well, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of salvation. Peter's writing, don't let people speak evil of you because of your foolishness and the way you live your life badly, but live well to please God. And when they speak evil of you because you follow Jesus, it'll be about your faith and not because of what you do. So three things I just want us to meditate on this morning, before we go in a time of worship. As followers of Jesus, we come to Christ then come together. I want this to sink into you. I wonder if you can say it out loud together. One, two, three. As followers of Jesus, we come to Christ, then come together. We come to Christ. When we first come to Christ, gave him our life, said, Lord, I believe in you. You are the Christ that came into the world to save me from my sin. We had to come to Christ. Faith has already come to us by what Jesus did on the cross. And then we come to Christ in faith and say, I believe you as my Lord and as my Savior. We come to Christ. But then we come together. Keep your eyes open and look around the room right now. I want you to eyeball as many people with a big smile on your face as you possibly can this morning. Look at you. We are a local body of Christ, a part of the corporate, the worldwide body of Christ, the universal church, but we are a local church, local expression. And around the world, there's people just like you, not like you, who are worshiping Jesus, who are thankful for what Jesus has done in their life, who come together on a regular basis to seek God, to pray, to worship, to bless him. Often already today, people have already been worshiping God as a gathered church. Some will be worshiping God later. The day is not out across the world. Amen. So there's a continual, perpetual worshiping of God. And when it silences on earth, it continues in heaven. Amen. Because when we come to Christ, we come together. Together. As an old advert once said years ago, we want to be together. We want to be together. In a world and a society, particularly in the UK, that is very individualistic, it's good to be together. It's good to be together. Do not neglect the gathering of yourselves, the assembly of yourselves, writes the writer to Hebrews, as some have done. It's good to be together. So three quick things. Our worship is, number one, it is personal. It is deeply personal. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. Jesus came, died, was buried, and rose again for each and every one of us as individuals. He did it for you. He did it for me. He did it to save me from my sins, from my best days, from my worst days. He did it to give me a relationship through Jesus to God the Father. It's deeply personal. It's deeply personal. Wow. Do you know who you are in Jesus? Do you know your identity in Jesus? Your identity in Jesus will keep you going. It's interesting when Jesus, after he rose from the dead and he appeared to the women, the two Marys and the women, he said, go and tell my brothers. It's the first time we read Jesus saying that. Go and tell my brothers. Up until that point, they were and still are his disciples, but he refers to them as brothers. Family. 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 You are part of the family of God. Jesus is your brother. Hang on, I thought he's my master and my savior. Yes, he's all that. And then some. And he's your brother. The family of God. Absolutely amazing. But you are a part of the family of God. This local church and the global church. You're part of the family. And every person matters to God. You matter to God the Father. He loves you so much. You matter to Jesus. Deeply personal. He saved you. And we're going to read more about this a little bit later, but he's also purposed you. It says in verse 5, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. Do you know that you're a priest? Give me a wave if you believe that. Well, hopefully by in a few moments you'll believe it even more. You're a priest. You don't have to wear a dog collar. You're a priest. You're part of the royal priesthood of believers. That's purpose. So Jesus came to die for you, and because of that, we can worship him. We can worship him. I love it when I worship Jesus at home. I love it when I put my favorite playlist on and worship Jesus. And when that gets stale, I find some new songs, old or new, put them on and play them again. I love it. I love it. Because when I worship, for me, it's personal. I love it with my eyes shut, my hands raised, saying, God, I love you. Jesus, I love you. I'm so thankful for the cross. I'm so thankful for what you've done in my life. It's deeply personal. Friends, never stop thanking God for what he's done for you, that he's called you out of darkness into light. Amen? Amen. So we thank God for what he's done. Worship is personal. Second, worship is plural. Worship is plural. And I want you to get this morning. I want you to get this. So the reality, it's personal when Jesus saves you. He gives you his spirit, spirit of Christ. Your spirit comes alive to God, and your spirit lives inside you, seals you, which is absolutely amazing. And yes, you are, as an individual, can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? So there's a personal level to this, but there's also something I believe we miss out on, and we need to get a new perspective on today, which is about the plurality of our worship. In verse 4, as you come to him, Peter refers to Jesus as the living stone. Jesus died, and then he came alive again because he was a living stone. Death could not hold him. Amen? So we heard all about that over the Easter season. Rejected by men, but in the sight of God, you yourselves, verse 5, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Did you get that? Let's read that again. You yourselves, like living stone? Stone? Stones? Singular or plural? Living stones are being built up as a spiritual house. A house has to have many bricks, or in those days, stones. The cornerstone was the most important stone to give the foundation, part of the foundation, and to give the sense of direction where the other stones are going to be laid. And every stone, when you build a house, do the bricks need to touch each other? Well, I know you've got cement in between, but essentially, yeah, they have to touch each other, don't they? Stone to stone. And as you lay one layer of stone, I remember a few years ago, as we used to drive from Coventry to Leamington, the Stoneleigh route. And I remember there being a house that started to be built. And they must have been on a tight budget, because literally, first of all, there was nothing there. Then we saw literally two layers of brick that was built. And as we kept going past week after week, suddenly, gradually, another layer of stones was built. And then another few weeks, few months, as they probably got more money, more stones. Now it stands a beautiful house en route in between Stoneleigh and Coventry. I say that because a house is built stone by stone, brick by brick. And Peter likens each one of us as a living stone. We're living because Jesus is alive. Amen. So therefore, we're alive in him. We're living, and we're being built up into a spiritual house. So question for you, it's not rocket science. A house, is it made up of one stone or many? Sorry? Then why do we sometimes live our lives like we're the only stone that's important? Do we? It's all about my stone, Jesus, and all this is for my stone. I'm going to not come and gather with people today because I'm going to pray at home instead. I'm going to come to church today to hear what God wants to say to me, and then I'm going to leave again. I'm not going to, and the list goes on. We can be deeply selfish. I can be deeply selfish. Amen. But God and Christ has called us to be living stones, deeply connected to each other. Why? Because he's building a spiritual house, a global spiritual house, and this local spiritual expression. Amen. Why? Well, let's read. This isn't on the screens, but Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, stone to stone, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Verse 22, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Get that. Holy Spirit lives inside of you as a believer. But something happens when God is building his the church, the spiritual house, stone to stone. He's building it. Why? The Holy Spirit is going to make his dwelling place, not just inside of you and me as individuals, but inside the corporate gathering of his people. Amen? Have you ever left a church service feeling more encouraged than when you came? I have. Amen. Why? Because God does something unique when the gathering of his people happens than when we're by ourselves. Because stone comes to stone. Yet, when we worship, and this is no criticism because it's what we've inherited. When we worship in rows. We will face the front. We might close our eyes. Might just look at the screen. Some of us might put hands in the air. Occasionally, sometimes we meet people bow. And so often, sometimes, if you're honest, and like me, sometimes I'm caught up in my own headspace. I'm caught up in my own head about what's going on in the week, and I'm trying to give that to the Lord. And it's about my worship with God. But God wants more than that. He wants we, not me. He wants the corporate gathering of God's people, where we edify each other, where we love on each other, where we worship Jesus together. This morning, we had our pre-service prayer, and Friday was leading in that, and he asked us to pray in tongues, and we're praying in tongues. And I'll only talk from my perspective. I felt we had to open up our eyes. I can't talk about anyone else that was there, but I knew for myself, as soon as I opened my eyes and was speaking in tongues, as we were instructed to do, I suddenly felt different. I felt encouraged because I was praying to God, but doing it with people. It was no longer this private act of worship. It was a corporate act of worship I was doing with my living stones. Amen? Amen. So when we do, God wants us to move into a realm of corporate, not just individualistic within many, but doing things together. That's why we're so passionate about practicing the Way course, which is starting this week, or life communities, because about doing life together. Doing life together. We saw the image there of maybe a group of people around a Bible study. You know, that's a part of it, but it's also about following Jesus together, praying for each other together, worshiping God together, encouraging each other together, loving each other together, operating spiritual gifts together. Okay. I'm not going to invite you forward now, but give me a wave. If you sought the Lord today, before you came to church as a gathering, and say, Lord, how do you want to use me today? Give me a wave. Now, okay, that is brilliant. That's what, as living stones, we should all be doing. My encouragement for us next week is do that. Before you come in the morning, say, Lord, what do you want me to contribute today? Is there someone you want me to encourage? Is there someone you want me to have a prophetic word for? Put my arm around. And he may not show you in advance. It might just be as you're here, eyes open, ears open, God prompts you, go and give that person a hug. Because we're living stones coming stone to stone. Amen? That is worship, friends. That is worship. My encouragement, as always, is after the service, if you're able to, I know sometimes we have to shoot off, if you're able to, stay for a cup of coffee. Why? Because God might use you in that time to serve him by serving someone else. Also, God might use someone else to serve him by being a blessing to you because you stayed around. Amen. Who needs encouragement? We all do. We all do. So position ourselves to be stone to stone, to receive the encouragement. And when we encourage, we serve, that's all worship to Jesus. Amen. And then finally, our worship is purposeful. It's purposeful. I'm going to end on this one point now. But this is this, that God has chosen you to be a priest. The thing is this. In the Old Testament, it started with the tabernacle, then it was the temple. There was two temples that were built. And the people wanted to worship God, okay? So they'd go to the temple on annual feasts. There's several different feasts. And they'd go to the temple, and they would buy something. Might be buy an animal or a dove, a pigeon, a bird. And they'd use that as a form of sacrifice. Number one, different types of sacrifices, as we know. There was one to say, God, I'm sorry for my sins. One to say, God, I'm thankful, etc. The shedding of blood had to happen in order for worship of God. So what they would do, they'd pay money, and God often wanted the best, not the worst, that lambs that were without marks or blemishes. And they'd pay money in exchange for getting an animal or bring their own animals that they could then give to the temple priests to sacrifice, while the people waited in the outer court. So the people were participants in that they brought their sacrifice and then gave it to the priests. Now we'd imagine a multitude of people coming from around the world to worship in the temple. How many animals would there be? How many birds would there be? Loads. Do you think it was a sanitized, clean place? It would have been a bloodbath, literally. And I'd read some stuff a few months ago that actually there's a temple system that we used to wash the blood away because there's so much blood. So think about an abattoir where animals are killed. Worse than that, because we're talking about the scale of it, the scale of people worshiping God by offering their sacrifices. And the priests would have to then roll up their sleeves and then do the butchering of the animals or and then there had to be the altars that kept alight, continue being burned, and then the animals being sacrificed, and the animals had to then be taken off of the altar and taken outside of the camp. It was a big job for priests. But there was a division between those that were worshiping, saying, "Here's my sacrifice, participant," to those that were priests, participant, doing the offering on behalf of the people. And then you had the high priest who were going to the Holy of Holies on behalf of the nation. You and me, the Bible says, are a royal priesthood. So that means no longer are you just a Christ follower. Thank you for saving me, my Lord and my God, as Thomas said. Thank you for saving me. But you have a purpose. 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 God has purposed you. Purposed you. And one of your callings is that of a priest. It's not about people that speak from a stage. No, no, no. It's the priesthood of all believers. Amen. That all of us, younger and older, young people. Andrea, you are a priest. Joanna, you are a priest. A priest to our God. Irrespective of gender, irrespective of age or stage of life, we are priests to our God. What does that mean? That we get to offer sacrifices to God.
but no longer of bulls and goats and birds, because the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus was paid for on the cross. So what does that mean? What sacrifice can I offer? There are many. Be real with me this morning. When you came here, or before you came here, did you feel like worshiping? Give me an honest wave. If you said, I wasn't really feeling it this morning. Thank you. Thanks for that honesty. There's times I don't feel it. Do you know what? When you worship anyway, that is a sacrifice of... Sorry, that's a sacrifice of praise. Sacrifice is doing something that costs me. Something I don't really want to do, but I know I need to do because I'm a priest to my God. So when you worship God, when you're not feeling it, when it's more than a song, it's saying, God, I worship you anyway. Whether I sing, whether I pray, whether I give you my full attention. You might be, some of you might be distracted with challenges in your life today. You wish life might have been a different way, or it would look different for you. But when you worship despite what life looks like for you right now, that is a sacrifice, and it's holy and pleasing to God. And when we worship out of that, not out of how we feel, but out of the truth of who God is and who we are in Him, it is beautiful. He loves it so much. God has called you and I to be a royal priesthood, to offer praises to God, no matter how we feel. I'm going to invite Pastor Leanne and Isabella up right now as we move into a time of worship. But you are a priestly people. And when you come next week, I want you to come with a mindset that I'm not just a follower of Jesus, that I have purpose. And one of my purposes is to offer praise to God, is to offer my attention to God, is when in my day job or in my neighborhood, to live my life pleasing to the Lord before other people, because that's worship. That's part of my priestly duty. Amen. Whatever we do in life, having a coffee with friends, going out for a meal, or having someone in your house, we can do it as an act of love before the Lord as a priest. It doesn't switch. It's not like Sunday and then I change on this Monday. No, you are a priest. You are a holy one. You are called out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, now you are the people of God. Amen. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of His people. And I want your expectation to be high over the next few weeks and months. I want your expectation, not hype, but your confidence in God and who He is, to be high. Because when we come and we gather with a new mindset that's saying, I'm going to do my bit as a priest, but I'm also going to expect, as we gather stone to stone, that God is going to make an habitation by His Spirit in our midst. And when He does that, all things are possible to those who believe. All things. That situation you wanted to shift, all things are possible. Why? Not because of your goodness, or not because you're trying to do your best, because He is good and He is the best. And He wants to pour Himself out in a new way. God is omnipresent. That means He's everywhere. But when the people of God gather to worship, there's the manifest presence of God, which is special, which is pure, which is tangible. Where we even stop what we're doing in our tracks and say, God, You are awesome. You are awesome in this place, said Jacob. You are awesome. This is none other than the house of God. Who's ready to worship Jesus? Stand up if you're a priest in this place. Come on. Stand up if you're a priest to our God. Stand up right now. Start to worship Him. Start to worship Him. Thank Him. Pray. Praise. Use a song right now. Think about His goodness. Whether you feel it or not, He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. Bless You, God.